We do have roots, and the rooted aspect of our lives lends life meaning. To speak of our roots is to speak of our history, and therefore of our destiny. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 122, Van Gogh's Cypress and the Charity of Trees. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Several years ago, the Metropolitan Museum of Art hosted an exhibit featuring Van Gogh's paintings of cypress trees. The cypress, of course, had featured in Van Gogh's most famous work, The Starry Night. We see it soaring out, stretching toward the heavens. But Van Gogh also had several creations that were focused almost entirely on the tree itself. In an interesting review of the exhibition in the Times titled Van Gogh and the Constellation of Trees, the artist is himself quoted describing his preoccupation with the cypress, writing to his brother Theo that I'd like to do something with them, like the canvases of the sunflowers, because it astonishes me that no one has done them as I see them. The article continues. The tree did inspire him to new arboreal heights, as we see in Van Gogh's Cypresses, a revelatory and appealingly green exhibition that begins previews next week at the Metropolitan Museum of Art before a public debut, May 22nd. And then the article adds a bit later. The Met brings together 24 paintings, along with 15 drawings and 4 illustrated letters in which the cypress makes an appearance, not always as the main subject. The show includes Starry Night from the Museum of Modern Art, which happens to feature, in addition to the hypnotic rhythms of its swirling sky, a pair of cypresses that have long gone uncelebrated and unnoticed. End quote. The most interesting insight of all relates to 2 paintings in the exhibition. The review notes that in these works, the trees appear to be depicted as people interacting with one another. We are told, quote, "Wheat field with cypresses, which measures 29 inches tall and 3 feet wide, offers a shining view of the Provençal countryside on a gusty hold-onto-your-hat day. Stalks of yellow wheat bend in the wind, clouds tumble across the sky, the purplish-blue limestone hills known as the Alpilles undulate in the distance, and then on the right side there it is, the cypress tree, its dark emerald foliage contrasting with the bright sky. Actually, make that 2 cypress trees. It can be startling to realize that a smaller tree is leaning against a taller one, like human figures, with their sides touching. The painting on the other easel, Cypresses, also offers a view of 2 cypresses, this one in dramatic close-up. The canvas is turned vertically, and the top of the taller tree appears lopped off to compress its shape into a bulky churning mass. Again, I thought of 2 figures and wondered if Van Gogh had opted to paint a pair of cypresses to suggest a cozy feeling of togetherness." End quote. When I first read this piece, and of the comparison between human beings and trees featured in Van Gogh's work, I thought immediately of an insight of Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, which we have mentioned in another context, a reflection on a comment on the verse in Deuteronomy, Ki ha'adam etz ha'shadeh, which can be rendered as, man is akin to a tree in the field. Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote that on the one hand, human beings are utterly unlike trees, in that we do not seek to be stationary. We are not bound to one spot. We are instinctive explorers, and we gaze with wonder at the unknown, looking up to the cosmos, as we might add, Van Gogh has us do in The Starry Night. But on the other hand, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, human beings are akin to trees because we do have roots, and the rooted aspect of our lives lends life meaning. To speak of our roots is to speak of our history, and therefore of our destiny. Thus, Rabbi Soloveitchik argued, in a very real way it can be said that human beings are akin to trees in the field. It is with this comment and Van Gogh's cypress paintings in mind that we can ponder a fascinating gloss by Rashi on the verse that provides us with our mitzvah for the day. We have seen versions of gifts to the poor as applied to several spheres, including the harvesting of grain and of grapes. And then there are trees. Deuteronomy 24:20 reads, Ki tachpot zeitcha lo tifa'er acharecha, which means, when you are chovet, when you engage in beating the olive tree to ensure that one harvests every bit of its bounty. Lo tifa'er acharecha, which the medieval exegete Rashi reads as a reference to tiferet, glory, or as he renders it, lo titol tif'arto mimeno, do not take its splendor or glory away from it. Meaning, says Rashi, shemanichin peyale ilan, that just as we are obligated to leave a corner of our crops for the poor, one must leave a corner of the tree as well for those in need. To take that away, for Rashi, is to rob the tree of its glory. I think it is not too much to read Rashi as saying that to leave a bit of the edge of the tree still bearing fruit is to ensure that when the poor person comes upon it, he will encounter the tree as a friend that seems somehow to extend the one bit of fruit it has left to that one in need. As Van Gogh's trees embrace, support one another, the tree of fruit seems to reach out, an extension of the kindness of the tree's owner that left that fruit for one who truly needed it. In this, the giver and the tree, as it were, become one, for a human being is akin to a tree in the field. The review of the exhibit of Van Gogh's cypresses noted strikingly that in one of the works there was found, quote, the surprising presence of rock matter, end quote. The writer asked a conservator, Charlotte Hale, what to make of this remnant of earth. Quote, was it possible that Van Gogh had deliberately added handfuls of sand and pebbles to his paint to thicken his impasto and give it a grittier texture? Absolutely not, Hale replied. I think what may have happened is that his easel blew over. The wind was so strong. But then the writer also adds, a few days later I mentioned the pebble story to an artist friend who hastily proposed, I think what happened is that Van Gogh was disgusted with the painting and threw a handful of dirt at it, end quote. Perhaps one of these explanations is accurate. Or perhaps Van Gogh added a bit of dirt in order that the painting truly embodied what a tree is, rooted in earth, a rootedness that links trees to human beings in splendid scriptural simile, and one which ensures that the mitzvah of peah of trees has a sublime symbolism. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.